always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
You know, you think like you think about the spacing of an NBA game, and I'm sure your buddy Pete would be better explaining this than I ever could be. But Luka slices and dices and sees the floor from a horizontal horizontal level. The guys in the corner better than just about anybody in the game, largely due to his size. LeBron James,
he's big. Thing.
When you add the added element of the vertical threat, it opens up that stuff even more. And frankly, the teams that were guarding the Mavericks in that 2024 finals run made the decision to like, we're going to guard these 3-point shooters. You can have the dunks. And as useful as brand new, I guess he's not brand new Slovenian anymore, but of your, what's his name?
Hayes. Jackson Hayes. Yeah.
He made Hayes functional. That's pretty impressive. Hayes was kind of heading out of the league, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
And Luka had done that with guys. I mean, the one that he really couldn't do it with was JaVale McGee, and he had JaVale McGee exiled almost immediately because McGee was annoying. But the cadre of centers that flew through Dallas, that's why I just think, you know, and I'm just going to put this out there. Now that it's a new front office, I think the Dallas Mavericks would be willing to trade with the Lakers for a Daniel Gafford. That old like front office could not do it.
The page is turned. It seems like that, like, based on some of the stuff that I've heard, that like the Mavericks are kind of like, all right, Masai's here. Masai, by the way, has a good relationship with the Lakers at one point.
Sure.
Was you know, wanted to work for him, all that stuff. But yeah, the Luka thing, you're a Star Wars guy, right? You like Star Wars? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's always weird how like their fights, which take place in space, always happen along the same axis, you know?
Sure, right.
And I feel like at some point, Luka would have come along and been like, hey, guys, you know, we can go, like, down and up too, right? Like, we don't have to stay here. And that's kind of what he does to the geometry of a basketball game too, where he's just like, you know, we can go up. And I think he really, like you said, made Jackson valuable. And like the way that I've gone about making the point that you're making here too is by saying that, like, when DeAndre Ayton was at his best, the Lakers were always at their best.
Yeah.
And that always told that indicated to me that if the Lakers are going to be the best, or if they're going to put together the best roster around Luka that they can, it has to feature a center who can play at the level that, at least at the level that Ayton was playing at when he was, you know, good in those moments, consistently, more consistently than Ayton was able to. Mm-hmm. You know, I also think that, like, just in general, like with today's NBA and because of how stellar centers have gotten over the years, you know, you have Wemby, you have Jokic, you have the center position has now all out of nowhere gotten crazy good. And I think the Lakers need variety at that spot. And Luka also really benefits from, like you mentioned, Kristaps Porzingis and how he's not obviously in the same category of player as Gafford or Lively because he's more of a stretch five. But it was also beneficial to have Kristaps spreading the floor for Luka as well. So I think that's something that the Lakers would need to do. Rim runner and then also an anchor defensively is something that they need. What do you think of the Austin Luka pairing? Oftentimes, I think it's kind of lazy when people do this, but Austin gets compared to Kyrie, and it's like if Kyrie and Luka can work, why can't Austin and Luka work? What do you think of that pairing, and do you think that's something that will work out longer term?
I like the pairing, and I have no problem with it. I think that the longer term thing, and there's a couple of Luka adjacent influencers that might stab me in the throat for this one. What is required of Luka if Austin Reeves is going to stay, and if the Lakers are only going to be able to improve like marginally, is Luka has to play the kind of defense I saw him play in like the last 20 games. Cause he did. He played really good defense. Luka is a brilliant basketball player. He is not super fleet of foot, but he is smart and he knows how to play.
He's really smart.
And he's frankly, he is capable of being an average defender. And that's enough because he's huge. And Reeves is the one who can't play defense. Reeves is physically incapable, I think, of playing good defense. He's 6'5". How much do we think he weighs? 190 pounds. Like, so Luka's a fucking brick. He weighs 265, if, like, at minimum. And a guy like Luka isn't going to get pushed around. His strength is literal strength is one of his strengths.
I'll never forget. I actually made the trip to Dallas for Luka's first game there.
Yeah, I remember that.
And so, like, it was so funny because he was in the visitors' locker room for the first time, and he had walked into the locker room just slightly after everybody. So, like, we are all, I forget which scrum we were in. It might have been LeBron,
right?
We're all facing away from the door that you come in from the hallway. And Luka walks in, you know, walks basically behind the scrum. And I'll never forget turning around and looking and realizing he blocks an entire doorway, a whole doorway. Like, I just look up and I'm like,
this does not come across in television, but most NBA players are very slight. They are thin. They are athletic. That's why Shaq is so freaking big. And Luka is the same kind of broad shouldered big. And that gives you a lot to work with defensively. And I just think expecting Reeves to be better on defense, he's just not physically capable. He's not. Offensively, he can hang tight. So if you're going to have understanding that there's going to be a weak point on the offense or on the defense, it would have to be Reeves. Because and that's how those two stay together is Luka. But I mean, I think the offensive pairing is really fantastic. That's a great chat comment from the chat. Big people are so big. It's like I saw Tyson Chandler in person once, man, and he looked like Slender Man. He didn't look like a real human being. You're like, wait, this guy stopped James at the rim repeatedly in 2011. How did he do that? And it's just it's a funny thing. But that's sort of my take on that pairing is that like for it to stay together, Luka has to play high level defense. But honestly, that's sort of a comment on Luka moving forward to where if he wants to be an MVP caliber player, he just has to play better defense. He can't be a one way player.
What did you think of the MVP conversation surrounding him this year?
Same thing. Like you said, this was like one of Luka's better seasons. Luka's season in 2023-24, he was 34-10-9. And he did not win MVP and didn't come close. I don't think Luka will ever match that. And if he can't win MVP, then he's never going to win MVP. He's just not well enough liked. The only thing that could really happen for him is if he goes away, like I said, and then really plays a season of bullshit free basketball. And I just don't know if he can do that. he also can't take off January and February. Like, that's really what's happened is if you look at his numbers and wins and losses, the Lakers did this nice thing this year where they stacked wins in the part of their schedule with LeBron out when they should have been winning. The Lakers get hosed on the schedule every year because people want to watch them after the football season is over. So you have this post, February 1st schedule where all of a sudden the Lakers SOS is like one of the worst because they have to play Denver three times. How did that happen? And so that's really where he needs to win in the doldrums. And that's where he's just not ever done it. I mean, ever. And then he comes on late so hot. It's just like, you got to play more consistently. That's how he wins MVP.
I thought this year people had kind of made their minds on him before that 16-2 stretch. And then, you know, we come to find out afterward, too, that like you have Bill Simmons just like proudly saying, they considered him eligible for the award, but I didn't. And it's like, oh, OK, well, then cool. But the other thing that I wanted to say about Luka's defense, it was funny. I saw this, very online debate about Tim Duncan's defense and how it was like. You know, Tim Duncan was an excellent defender, but he wasn't like, you know, fly out of nowhere, block your shot. Like he was just incredible positionally, because he was a genius. He was a basketball genius. And he would, I mean, he made everything look boring, but he made defense look boring because, you know, he would understand where he needed to stand to gum up a play. And then he would just kind of like absentmindedly take three steps and put himself into that position. And I feel like that's the kind of defense that Luka, given his size, given his basketball IQ, should be able to play. I'm not expecting him to go out on an island and lock down Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I'm not expecting him to, you know, take a shit ton of charges or anything like that. But just be the kind of defender who, like, while you're watching the game, you just realize, man, their offense just doesn't seem to be humming at the level that it needs to. And it has a lot to do with the fact that, like, these fulcrums of offenses, modern offenses, are just taken up by this 6'8", 260 dude who knows to stand there. Yeah. That's all I'm kind of asking.
Sure. I get it.
The other thing that the Lakers really need to improve on from a roster perspective this year was something that the Mavericks, I think, did at an extremely underrated level, which was they assembled a whole bunch of athleticism that also, you know, knocked down shots in the time, you know, in big spots, right?
Sure.
PJ Washington, Derrick Jones Jr., even Tim Hardaway Jr. was a good athlete, you know. What did the Mavericks figure out there? What do those guys kind of have in common that made them as successful as they were on Luka teams?
Well, the Mavericks particular team build was very rangy. A lot of bigger athletic players, and then they sort of had a hope and a prayer with the shooting. And part of why I focused on the center position earlier is I believe most NBA players are actually quite good at shooting. And I know that sounds like a stupid thing to say, considering it's like we watch it every night. But when the playoffs come around, those shots where it's like 6.5 feet of distance become 4 feet of distance in terms of the defender being nearest to you. Mm-hmm. And Luka just opened up a lot of space for guys. I mean, PJ Washington had one of his best seasons with Luka. Derrick Jones Jr. effectively got paid by the Clippers because of Luka. The Mavericks had hoped to pair like Najee Marshall with Luka to get, you know, the similar kind of looks. And Najee obviously only played very little with Luka during the 2024-25 season. But I think if like the center position works, then that opens up everything else. It's like the running game in football where it adds that little element of space for the rest of these potentially good shooters. Now the Lakers did have some pretty incredible shooting seasons from some of their guys this year. And I really enjoyed, you know, watching the games that I did, but I just think it's some of that was just like shot difficulty. And like, you obviously want to get guys easier shooters. So I think if you're sort of looking to rebuild that element, if the center position hits in a useful way where it's like, okay, you keep your guy that you have now, let's say they do trade for like Daniel Gafford. What is that? How does that affect everything else downhill? And it's worth asking because I think you can then get away with having guys that may not look the best on paper. Cause I mean, Derrick Jones Jr. was the 15th guy the Mavericks signed, and he was a starter in the finals. That's the Luka effect. Like, that's just what happens with guys who are unlocked in particular roles because all they have to do is thing X, which is like catch and shoot, go here, drive, dunk. I mean, that's what made Ayton so damn disappointing because he just wasn't interested in doing the easy stuff. In some cases, hard stuff, but it's what worked with Tyson Chandler in 2011 with the Mavericks. It's like, if you roll the rim over and over and over and over again, you're eventually going to get a huge dunk and a huge moment and help seal the game for us. And like, Ayton just never bought in that way.
Yeah. I mean, most telling quote of the year from Ayton was, I'm not Clint Capella.
You know, that's crazy. Like,
what are you doing, man?
Clint Capella's had a better career than you.
Yeah.
Like, maybe not the same amount of money, but like, people are going to remember Clint Capella as a guy that outplayed his potential. And people are going to remember DeAndre Ayton as a guy who never lived up to his.
Right. Exactly. All right. I want to segue over to, in the last, you know, stretch here of the show, to your Mavs, because I think they're like super interesting. I guess I find them a really interesting team, really interesting organization at a bit of a crossroads that I think can help or will impact the rest of the league, depending on like the direction that they take here. While Jason Kidd was there, while Nico Harrison was there, they were just, for whatever reason, laser focused on competing in the now. You know, we'll just wait and see whenever Kyrie comes back, and we'll just wait and see whenever AD comes back, and we're going to see what this team looks like and all that stuff. And obviously now Anthony Davis is in Washington, and Jason Kidd feels like he's heading towards Portland, and Nico Harrison is wherever he finds himself. The Mavericks, though, like, fortunately, have kind of leaned into the Cooper Flagg timeline. I think Derek Lively fits that timeline. I think Max Christie fits that timeline. The only guy who is still there who doesn't seem to fit that timeline is Kyrie.
There's a lot of guys, actually.
Yeah, I guess
there's
a lot of guys.
They have a veteran guy who doesn't.
Yeah. So, like, do you think we'll see a fire sale of some of those vets to really kind of embrace Cooper's timeline, or do you think they'll continue pursuing playoff competition now?
My sort of take on what the Mavericks should do is that they should be as competitive as possible. They have the Hornets on their 2027 pick. So it's top two protected. So I guess there's a chance they could get a draft pick, but they need to play the season like they don't have a draft pick. So as a result of that, I think they should be as competitive as possible while also being a way station to help other teams in terms of taking on bad contracts, things like that. Their salary cap looks pretty good right now. PJ Washington is starting an extension at a reasonable price. Daniel Gafford is starting an extension at a, depending on your opinion of him, okay price. It's like a 3-year $60 million one. It's like $20 million pop. Kyrie Irving is starting year two of a deal that pays him about $40 million a year. He's probably the hardest to move in my opinion, because like, how the hell do you assemble $40 million worth of salary? 40 is a weird number relative to the way guys make money. Guys make money in the $15 to $22 million range, or $65 million a year range. Like, that's sort of, and then like very bottom of the barrel. That's kind of all we got now. And then there's guys like Najee Marshall, who's on the last year of his deal. He was very important to the Mavericks last year, but he's like 28. Kyrie is going to turn 34, or if he's not 34 already. Gafford's not a young man, but not an old man, but sometimes big men age like bananas left on the countertop. PJ's probably, in my opinion, the guy with the most upside. He's a really fun player, right guy on the right team. Like, he's a very excellent fourth player within your roster. So I don't know what happens here. Obviously they're only married to Flagg, which is as it should be. But I do think that given Kyrie's reputation around the league, they sort of go to him and say, what do you want? Cause he's not hurting anything. And really, he is a truly breathtaking player to watch regularly. Yeah. I didn't understand it. Like, I knew he was good. I'm not an idiot, but it's like you watch the night in, night out stuff, and like, he's just
like artistic.
Yeah.
Some of those artists out there. Yeah.
Like, that's where like the Kobe comparisons in terms of like must see television. I get it now after having watched parts of it. Like, do you remember the left hand sweeping hook he made over Nikola Jokic to win a game? Like, who does that? Yeah. So I hope they keep him. I want to watch like good games. I watched Cooper do stuff, but they shoved the ball into Cooper's hands and were like, good night and good luck. And Cooper is not yet, maybe he could be, but I don't want him to be heliocentric. I want him to be a play finisher. He is such a violent finisher at the rim. I've never on a team I've watched my entire life, the closest player that I've had is 2014 Vince Carter. The Mavericks have never had anyone that dunks like this guy. I guess they had Gerald Green for a while. Everybody had Gerald Green for a while. He was fun. but like this dude,
how the Lakers were the only team that didn't have him for a little while.
There was a play. They played the Bucks like within the first 20 games, and they lost this game to the Bucks, but he took it into Giannis's chest for an and one in clutch time. Like, Cooper rules. So I want him like attacking the rim with just like, you know, it's just room. Violence all the time.
Yeah.
So that's sort of what I'm looking forward to. I don't know what they could be. It's going to be weird. This draft is the fact that they fell from a potential sixth draft pick to ninth really fucking hurts. And I'm very angry about that. But then again, they also got Cooper the year before. So I should probably stop my complaining. you know, so that's just sort of where I said. Yeah, no, I agree.
Is there any chance whatsoever Max Christie could be available? Because he's I really miss Max Christie.
The Max Christie experience has been milquetoast. He plays so hard.
He needs Kyrie. He needs a ball handler.
He does. He also is really bad at movement shooting, is something I've learned. Like catch and shoot jumpers, boom.
Yeah.
Attacking the rim, pretty good. Coming off screens and moving when he's off balance, eek. And also for the past 2 years, this is, I think, just a conditioning thing. He is in like the Mavericks history books for his first 15 games because he was amazing. And then he just died. And it was because I don't think he had ever played that much basketball before. And then the same thing happened this year where he played a ton and then all of a sudden was just done. I think he is in year two. Maybe he's going to be entering like the final year of that extension the Lakers gave him. I could be wrong about this. But he's on a very team friendly deal. He's the kind of player that'll get another very good deal because he's not played out of his mind so much to like demand like a, you know, full MLE or something like that. But he's a good player. His defense suffered a little bit, but the Mavericks also didn't have any defensive principles. Their defensive principles were like, let the other team score. It was very rough to watch, but you know, I know Lakers fans really miss Max Christie and he was doing well there. I think to somebody's comment in the chat, I do think he would actually benefit a ton from someone like Luka.
So. Oh yeah. Yeah. The Max Christie thing is funny. I obviously, just like you're not going to complain too much about lottery luck because the Mavericks got Cooper Flagg, but like maybe the least self-aware tweet I've ever sent was saying how I, if there was only way that like the Lakers could have kept Max Christie in the Luka trade, and the number of people who were like, shut up. And I was like, yeah, fair point. Because, you know, but I don't know. He's the guy. I know Lakers fans are always very focused on the centers that Dallas has, whether it be Gafford. I don't think there's a world where they could get Lively. But Gafford is often the guy that Lakers fans are kind of zoned in on. But I'm really like I really believe in Max Christie. He plays an important position in that, like, he can kind of sort of guard point guards. He can kind of sort of guard shooting guards. And that versatility matters. All right. Anything that you want to plug before we get you out of here?
I did mention this mock draft. Lakers probably aren't interested in anything draft related right now. I wouldn't be either. But if you happen to be a draft head, we just did this 90-minute mock draft last night on Pod Maverick that made me laugh out loud repeatedly just because there's so many weird things. I mean, only 24 teams have a first-round draft pick. There's a lot of drafts out of 30. So it's like, you know, one sixth of the league doesn't have a draft pick in the first round. So there's just the potential, and like the Thunder have too many picks. They have two picks in the first round. They're not rostering two picks. There's just so many odd things that could be afoot. And I sort of am really looking forward to that and just sort of seeing what happens. I don't really have anything to plug. My brain's been like kind of broken. You know that like personally we rescued two puppies and like just chaos. So
youth movement in the Henderson household as it pertains to puppies.
Like a toddler under three, two puppies, just idiocy everywhere in my house. It's great.
Yeah, Jen, every time I say like, babe, can we get another dog? I really want to get another dog to keep Callie a little bit younger. She's like, no.
Dog is good. Puppy is tough. Getting like a 4-year-old dog that's gotten through the puppies is really good for other dogs. But the puppy element is like, it's just a shark. They can't help it. And they shit everywhere. Awesome. So
do sharks. That's true. Technically. All right.
This has been fun. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thank you very much, Kirk, for hopping on. Again, this show is brought to you in part by Prize Picks. Use our promo code HMA and play a $5 lineup to get $50 worth of those lineups for free. hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Bye, everyone.